Well, this morning, sermon is entitled this, Searching Out True Wisdom. Searching out true wisdom. And the verse I particularly want to dwell on is found at the end of Job chapter 28, verse 28, where we read this, And to man the Lord said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Very briefly, we can well think that Job is the oldest book, perhaps, that we have in the Bible. Job, we think, predates time of Moses and his writings, and we might locate Job in the time of the patriarchs. Not absolutely sure when to date it, but it seems likely, just by its themes, and the absence of certain themes, that we can place it at that kind of period. What a book. Well, indeed, I can only be very brief in the words I say here. So much in it. Patience of Job and its outcome. Well, yes, we see a man here modelling for us how we might respond, demonstrate faith in the midst of trials that we may not understand. But of course, we know the Lord does. And beyond Job's comprehension, at least until the end, God suffering him to receive chastisements and temptations sent by the evil one. But here, in chapter 28, having gone through some of Job's agonies, perhaps some of his less wise words directed at himself and directed at his date of birth and such things, comes this wonderful and poetic eulogy of wisdom and reflection on what wisdom is, where it's to be found, indeed where it's not to be found, and saying of it, Ah, wisdom is God's possession. It is his property to reveal and to dispense. And so that thought is to be with us. We really can't do justice to this glorious chapter and thoroughly explore all of its themes. Most wonderful, the images that it draws and its reflections, the profundity of its thought. And indeed, do people say that men of that generation, that age, had little understanding of poetry, of the use of words? Well, they should think again. Just look at the book of Job. So, those brief comments made. My first heading is this. Man works hard to get knowledge. Man works hard to get knowledge. Job, at the beginning of this chapter, verses 1 to 11, pictures for us here great industry. Man at his most resourceful. There he is to be found, searching out here, it's true, precious stones, ores, gold and sapphires and all of his mining endeavours. We have man here at his most resourceful. Mining is the illustration of this. I suppose in many ways it still is today. He's found in these dangerous places, searching for those precious stones, looking, applying all of his wit, his strength, his ingenuity, to finding sapphires and topaz and gold and silver, rich materials that he can then bring up to the surface and get some reward for all of the risk that he has taken. And most wonderfully, there Job pictures man, in a way, at his best, at his strongest, pitting himself against nature, defying the odds to come and bring these precious things to the surface. Oh, there he is, working very hard. And you can sort of feel it, can't you? It's perspiration. You can feel his fear swinging to and fro, hanging far away from men. Dangerous places there, something that he might have seen down some deep ravine in some mountain or underground in the depths. He's going to take a great risk to find it, working so hard. applying his intelligence, standing strong against nature. Man's and ears today, don't they? And some tragically lost their lives in the last week or so. There they see this dangerous mountain, and they're going to conquer it. They're not going to allow it to stand there unconquered by them. They hang to and fro, far away from men, no path there that the bird knows, the falcon's eye have not seen it. Even these birds that fly high and make their habitation in these high places, but they don't go as high as this. Man is to be found there, man alone, against nature, trying to be the overcomer. And that's perhaps a more modern illustration there, in a sense. For Job's then, still today, great dangers, the high death toll of people, mining, working underground, dangers that that presents. Remote, uninhabited places, great depths to which he will go to find that better kind of a stratum of ore, to find that a precious gold that perhaps is purer than any other hitherto found. So man works very hard, great endeavours that he shows. Job, in a way, is then wanting us to apply that to the search for wisdom and knowledge. All the lengths to which man will go to try to find wisdom and knowledge. Oh, the perspiration and the study and the great efforts. Job's there, yes. In our day, perhaps even more so. More young people than ever, we're led to believe, going off to university. Well, the courses they go on are worth anything. There we are, another matter to debate that. But there they go, off to universities there to study these different things. I read their books and delve into the literature that's there, peruse all that's on the internet and trying to glean things, get some perspective on things. Think of the natural sciences. Perhaps lends itself most easily for the illustration that we're trying to develop here. Them telescopes, ever stronger telescopes, to see even further, to get even more exact focus upon distant galaxies, to penetrate their universes far away. Well, they might not have to swing to and fro, but taking the sort of mining illustration and the industry and the resourcefulness and the endeavour, well, certainly people show this, designing these things. And of course, they're not so much these days, but the space program. These rockets, talk about rocket science, don't we, as an illustration of the most clever kind of scientific application. And there we are, all of these clever and wise things, trying to understand distant galaxies, trying to reach into them and glean some knowledge. Whether we use the knowledge wisely is another matter. But there we are, the natural sciences. Or great risks that people take to study wildlife. Going down into the ocean depths, places there where the pressures would really just kill a man almost in an instant. Designing clever vessels that can go down into those deep places, explore marine life that many of it, much of it, has never been seen before or charted or catalogued. Taking those risks to do that, or observe wildlife in its natural habitat, and having their lairs and their hides, observing over long periods of time, suffering great deprivation, glean some further knowledge of the behaviour of different creatures. The Large Hadron Collider. Well, there's something, isn't it, just? All the years in which that has been in the making. Now, well, we don't know to be quite, but they're discovering, breaking down things even to more basic units and particles and trying to understand material and mass and energy in a way that not been able to understand it before until this complex machinery has been able to reproduce these extraordinary speeds and crashing these things together. Yes, huge motivation that lies behind it. Great planning. Resourcefulness and skill and energy. All the social sciences, well, they at their best, studying impact of nature upon man or the impact of man upon nature, trying to see the behaviours that they display and the patterns, trying to plan ahead for better things that man can do. his responses, language, how these things develop, how he interacts with each other and with nature. Nature has its impact upon him. So, man, just as in the mining illustration here, works hard to get knowledge and wisdom. Years and years of accumulated knowledge, libraries that grow in their size. In London, I walk past the British Library and goes deep down, cavernous rooms there, given over to storing all the books and all the knowledge over the years that has been accumulated. But now my second heading is this: yet knowledge eludes our grasp. Knowledge eludes our grasp. To all this industry, risk-taking, years of planning, storage and accumulation of it, it eludes our grasp. There is so much we do not know. Great areas, lacunae in our knowledge. People are trying to get some understanding of different subjects and different places. Yet for all of that, all the undoubted successes that are achieved and things that we do have a clearer understanding about their characteristics and their pattern and causes and effects. The bigger issues, there man with his own intelligence, with his own wit, fails to make any real impact. The beginning of life, all the beginning of life. The ideas that are mooted regarding to that. The wild speculations that pass for knowledge. And yes, you know, the people that are foisting these ideas upon us aren't really satisfied with them. They feel a degree of inadequacy there. And, oh, we're going to have to factor in a few more billion years. A bit of a problem that doesn't seem to fit with our scheme of things. This shouldn't be here, so let's sort of redesign it to try to bring this and keep our theory of evolution here intact. And it groans and it creaks as more anomalies present themselves there. This eludes their grip, their grasp. And they talk with hubris. Oh, we know what's going on here. And then we gather in their private discussions. We haven't really got a clue what's happening here. What is life? What is life? What is this? It's this life. What are living beings? They seem so much more than just simply the chemical composition or this collation of different parts and the energy and all of its functions there. Life, that also seems to elude our grasp as to what it is. The most basic of questions and issues, and yet it's beyond us somehow. Well, man, mind and will and consciousness, oh, there's some fancy discussions that go on about this, and all speculations that people indulge in about this, and the conversations they have and discussions that are held. And yet this is one of the outstanding issues they want to make progress in. And people who've kind of futurologists looking at what things we really look forward to getting a handle on in the future, put that up. Consciousness. What it is to be able to think and to be able to think about ourselves and to reflect on ourselves. That is a key area. So I'm confident you assert, well, we're gonna crack that one. We're gonna get there soon. But whether again, they're just simply whistling in the wind there. I think they are. It's eluding their grasp. They can't get a grip on it. And the afterlife, what's this? And how are we to understand death and something beyond death? Again, in this speculation, all kinds of ideas, as man, unaided by reason, unaided by what God can give, tries to speculate. And then those who are wedded to a very evolutionary idea of man and a very unromantic idea of man, struggle to understand love. Or poetry, something like the book of Job here, the beautiful elegance of language and poetry. It doesn't fit within their scheme of things, and they're quite at a loss to explain it, fumble around with some idea or other, but it doesn't do justice to its object, and they know it. And then, somehow fitting it all together, understanding where we are within all of life, whatever out there, and life and death, and each other and the capacities we have to love and where we've come from and where we're going. Oh, that is just too much. They don't know how it all fits together, how we can use the various parts of knowledge that we've grasped and relate them to each other and place us within that wider context eludes their grasp totally. And speculation, I've already said, is rampant. People come up with all these ideas, which really are just speculation. Or they get very frustrated. I'm sure many of these men and women lie awake at night, tossing and turning. Oh, with their clenched fists, trying to get some handle on these things, but they can't. Wild generalizations that are made that just don't fit the data out there or in here. Cults that emerge with cut and dried answers and are able to say, well, wait a moment, like your mind can control all of your bodily symptoms. So just get on top of that and get your mind straight on these things. Tom Cruise and Scientology there, which it seems whatever his wife's name, this famous actress, shows how much I know about these things, isn't it? Katie Holmes or something. Anyway, that marriage is all over. Scientology there, getting a bad press, and probably rightly so. Generalizations, cults that emerge. Because man is frustrated. All these bigger questions and how everything fits together and where we fit within it all eludes his grasp. Thirdly, by third heading this, God holds the key. God holds the key. This is the point where many people will switch off here. We'll switch off and wait a moment. No, we'll continue with our search. We'll dig deeper. We'll keep on taking more risks. We'll speculate more. We'll get there on our own. Oh, no, you won't. You won't. You will not arrive at knowledge, true knowledge, the most valuable things. You won't see how everything fits together, where you are and where your place is within this wide and complex and wonderful universe. Your study won't achieve it for you. You can expend all the money you've got. Why? We can expend all the money that there is in the world. Job very eloquently from verse 12 there to verse 19. Waxes very lyrical about how nothing that you have, no wealth, no precious gem, any you could name will not achieve it for you. It won't. Today, though, billions upon billions of pounds, we're just so used to it, aren't we? Banks now, 26 billion pounds here. Well, any amount of money won't arrive at knowledge, won't bring it to you, won't be a sufficient price to pay to get these things. For it's not to be obtained that way. It is the property of God. It is his to give. It is his to reveal. It is his to dispense. What can we say about God's possession of knowledge? Well, we can say quite a few things. He knows all that we know better than we know it. He knows all that we know. Everything that so far with our puny intelligence we have arrived at, he knows all that, and he knows it better than we know it. Things that we still will discover. The imperfections in our theories and in our measurements and in the laws so far that we have detected. He knows them better than we do, more exactly, more perfectly. And of course, he knows everything we don't know. All of the gaps, the natural world, everything as yet uncharted, not catalogued, not fully seen in its natural habitat. Mountain peaks that we haven't properly surveyed or analysed, the depths of the oceans, where still there are creatures we haven't seen, rare orchids growing on some remote place, other flora that as yet remains uncatalogued there, hasn't been listed, photographed, seen, given its Latin name, whatever. But he knows them. Everything we don't know, he knows. And he knows everything about everything. Wonderful. Well, in this world, people who reckon they know everything about everything are smart alecks, aren't they, and bore us intensely. But God does know everything about everything. Every subject, every area of the natural sciences, every area, inanimate objects, what its properties are, how it relates to everything else, what it will be subject to, how it will vary under different pressures, different situations. He knows everything about everything. every cause and every effect, how things will be brought under different influences and what they will then do. And he knows the relationship of everything to everything else. Everything. How everything interacts. How everything has its place, has its part within the whole, the world that we inhabit, whole of the universe that remains uncharted by us. Now, some of these things he has cared to reveal to us in the Bible. Many things indeed, and a springboard it is for true scientific endeavour, if we properly see our place here and more modestly pursue the pursuit of knowledge. But he reveals to us here that also there are secret things that only he knows, and he's going to keep to himself. Decrees, matters that are his and his only, and where he will keep us in our place and show us that there you may not come, you may not trespass, you may speculate, but you're unwise so to do. It'll only lead you to some extreme of thought or some unwise bypath that will lead nowhere till you come back and acknowledge that this is mine, mine only, and that you must remain there at arm's length from me. And this is a fact that we have to reckon with, that here in the Bible, he has shown us clearly that he knows about our human nature. Our human nature. Well, we've been dwelling a lot, haven't we, about the natural world. He knows everything about that, yes. Oh, and dear friends, he knows everything about us. Our actions. Why we behave as we behave and think as we do. Why we have the attitudes we have. Why from culture to culture some of those things have a different flavouring or a different tinge to them. Oh, he can account for everything that we are, the people that we are today, how we hear, how we think, how we reason, the gaps in our understanding and in our knowledge. For he knows our sinful hearts precisely. He knows these things exactly. What money cannot achieve, and our study will never be able to reveal. He knows. He looks to the ends of the earth, verse 24, and sees under the whole heavens. The one who can establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure does all the laws that work. There's all the laws that work in our hearts. And the law of sin and its operations there. He finds these things. He knows these things. He tells us of them in the Bible. And there is wisdom if we read this book carefully and see how he speaks to us here about our condition. Not modern psychology. That can't help us. That can't answer these things, the urges or the repressions that it tells us work in our hearts. It would dispense with our conscience. It would dispense with God's laws. Remove God as being a problem that we don't want to have interfering with the people that we should develop into being. Oh, horror of horrors, they've completely got it wrong. Or evolution, as offering there a pathway forward. And we will see how we will move towards a higher plane, some different way of understanding ourselves and relating to our world, and overcoming different things and adapting to situations where we are. Or libertines who say, oh, it doesn't matter, enjoy yourselves, go out and just enjoy yourselves. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, we're not going to worry about that. So go on, just live your life here and now. Well, that leads to misery and to wretchedness. And last night there woke me up out on the pavement, some drunken yobs shouting at each other, and girls screeching at each other. Quite fate, I fear, knowing the drinking options that there are there all afternoon led to the troubles that we had in the evening. Well, it didn't sound too pleasurable to me. Or some conformity to society. Just fit in with society. Become something of a clone there. Don't argue, just conform comfortably to society, and there we'll be able to achieve some sort of social whole and some social harmony. Well, that, again, doesn't answer our deepest need or describe adequately the people that we are. Fourthly, finally, my heading is this: the best perspective of all. The best perspective of all. And this brings us right to our text. The one who saw wisdom and declared it, prepared it, indeed he searched it out, is the one who says to man, behold. Gets our attention, doesn't that? Behold, take note of this. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil
is understanding. Now this is the real thing. Here is where wisdom is, not by using all the riches of the world, not by taking these extraordinary risks, perspiration, deep study in all these disciplines, helpful though some of them are. No, it's with God. He possesses these things. Even the pursuit of the world and understanding it is better pursued if we dispense with worldly wisdom, macro evolutionary theory, and things like that. But us, thinking about us, here is the instruction to our hearts. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. There it is. This is to be brought to your attention. Here is what God reveals, distinctly His to give, His property, and that which is the supreme wisdom, showing you where you relate, how you fit in within the wider scheme of things, how you're to respond, how you're to develop in life, what you're to do with the knowledge you have, and how to apply it in different situations. It is with God. It is in relationship to Him. It is having our life's orientation completely and utterly taken up with Him, living in a right way, a motivation under His authority and His rule. And this will never be seen without God. As I said, at this point many people switch off here. What has the man not said? Follow the unicorn and you'll get wisdom. Has He not indicated to us it's the goddess what will do it for us? Or look, let us smell some scent and aroma that surely will filter through and touch our chakra points and stimulate us to some inner divinity. Has He said, this God, the God of the Bible, yes, for all else is vanity and folly. Here it is to be found, and only He by special revelation can bring these things to us. Only He can show us what is actually achievable. And only He can show us that we should value this, dispense with every other path that is shown to us. For the wisest of men without this wisdom is really but a fool. The wisest of women without this wisdom is really but a fool. Fear the Lord. Hear this. Behold, fear Him. This glorious God. And what do we mean by this? Well, there's much we could say, but let's just say a few things at least. Think highly of Him. Think highly of Him. Oh, let it be that your breath is taken away when you consider who He is. Just who He is. Master of all, Creator. Giver of all the laws that take place, who sees all the things we've been describing. How awesome that is. All His works are awesome, and are pleasure to those who delight in them, study them. Think of Him. Justice. Authority that He has to implement justice. Who at the end of time, to each man, woman that has been born on the face of the earth, will administer that justice exactly and precisely with the foreknowledge of their motivation and their attitudes. Ah, yes, their sinful nature. And He will know it. For He is just and will speak it. The Lord, as He was revealed to John, eyes burning flame, burning with that justice, all-penetrating sight, which we see something of as described here by Job. Think highly of Him, recognizes His existence, recognizes His authority, recognize as best we can His glory. Concede to Him, bow before Him, concede that we are but ignorant and we are but fools. We are but those who are filled with arrogance and inflated by our own thought of self-importance. Oh, we think we are the people, that wisdom is with us, but it isn't, it's with Him. Believe in Him as judge. So by this we redefine ourselves in the light of who He is. Yes, there we are, busily going about our lives, filled with our own self-interest. Stop. Oh, dear friends, stop. Redefine your life in the light of Him. Fear Him. Break these things up and your fascination with them, your self-absorption and your self-centeredness.
the way we excuse ourselves and use, as we're saying to the children, all this highfalutin language and borrow from the world as it tries to quieten our conscience and take away our fear of God. Oh, do not let that be so, but see him in his glory. Learn to feel small before him. Learn to forsake your vices and all your unworthy ideas. See yourself in his sight, defiled, soiled indeed, vile. It says as well, doesn't it, depart from evil. Repent, dear friend, repent. Turn away while there is time. Do not entertain these false notions and go forward to another day, because you may not have another day. Depart today from evil. Oh, that you might repent of your sin, turn fully from it, see it, be disgusted with it, in the eyes of God, see his glory and yourself undone, unworthy and vile, and repent. Oh, to depart from it, desire to be rid of it, to have no more truck with it, to be brought out of that and into a place of holiness, to move forward, to move away from it. Resolve never to return to those things. Forsake all. Your sins are not trivial, dear friend, they're not. In the eyes of God, each and every one, all of it is worthy of death. Even what we have not done, but because of our sinful nature, we are worthy of death. Leave behind self-trust. Leave behind self-reliance. Leave behind self-sufficiency. You may follow in your endeavors all your life. I think one day I'll crack it. One day I'll get to the bottom of this mine. I'll find that nugget of knowledge there that will reveal all to me. It's foolishness. You'll never find it. You need God's revelation. You need to fear him. And finally, the best perspective is to desire Christ. Desire him. Oh, see what he is as the prizest jewel. As the one who possesses wisdom itself, who is wisdom. Look at him and desire him. See him upon the cross. There is the wisdom of God, contriving there to bring together what seemed totally irreconcilable positions. God's justice to be the one who is just and would condemn wickedness and sinners, but at the same time, love. And mercy. So placing upon his son, in all his wisdom and his wise designs, that he, now as fully human as well as fully God, should bear the sin of his people, so that God's justice is met, but also his love to save sinners is fully achieved. And through him, through faith in him, that we can truly live for God. Our sins now taken away, blotted out. All of the energy expended in what is false and untrue. All of the efforts that we have made to run away from God and defy his name, indeed to hate him, removed from our record, taken away from our CV, and us now granted a whole new standing before God, forgiven, declared now justified, for whom now no case further to be answered, and in whose hearts now the Holy Spirit is given to be able to change and grow and to become wiser and to learn more and more to fear God and share the best of perspectives and pursue the pursuit of knowledge with wisdom, seeing where we are, relating to God properly, our studies more modestly pursued, our pursuit of understanding, functioning now as God would have us properly to function, through Christ, in him, knowing him, upon the cross die, risen now to glorious life, imparting grace by the Holy Spirit. Yes, searching out true wisdom. It's in God. It's in Christ. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. And he loves to bestow understanding. He loves to show us things from his word. He loves to help us in all the perplexing circumstances of life to apply what we know to that circumstance. Where principles seem to not line up, how we can pursue our way, how to weigh and evaluate and see things, see through things, be able to uphold his principles and live godly in Christ Jesus in this fallen world. Searching out true wisdom. Don't follow in the ways of the world, its folly, its misunderstandings, its perspiration, but to no good end expended. No, he offers it, holding the key to these things, and would have us behold his Son. So, dear friends, there we have, as he says to man, and therefore says it to us today, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Amen.